I saw an interview with him on, I guess it was 60 Minutes or something, some mm-hmm. news show, and I was surprised, and there was Billy Collins, and the interviewer had said to him, people describe your work as accessible, would you say you're accessible? And he kind of laughed, and he said, well, I'm sort of getting tired of hearing the word accessible, but he said, I like to think of my poems as hospitable.
Yeah.
And I love that description, because I liked what it said about the warmth and the intimacy of it. And we were talking and we were saying, well, what would Tom use? I mean, we've just said don't use adjectives. Yeah. But if you had an adjective that you could say, you would like your poems to be?
Red.
A verb.
Red. Yeah, I just like them to be red. And then, you know, and I don't have, you know, that's the sort of basic thing they have to be done to. And I think this is the problem that we have with, I mean, across our culture, there's this wide approval for poets and for poetry, so long as no one has to read any. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
We are pleased to have poets writing poems in the same way that we are pleased to have good infrastructure and clean drinking water and, you know, a missile defense shield or whatever that is. We want to be able to know about it and ignore it. And what's wonderful about Billy's work is that I think his word is right. It's hospitable. It's welcoming. I've reviewed his work actually, and you know, he's gotten to be so much read now that there are enough begrudgers out there saying that it's not serious. There is a little dagger in every one of those poems, you know.
Oh yeah.
And I had the experience of getting on a plane to go someplace, and I was going to Connecticut, and I had one of these upgraded tickets, so I'm sitting in first class with this a professional woman next to me, and she was going back to Massachusetts someplace, and I was reading Billy's book because I was going to be reviewing it, and she said, what are you reading? I said, the book of poems by Billy Collins, our poet laureate. She says, I never read poems. I said, I'll bet you can't read one, just one. And you know, she held that book for the hour and 45 minutes that we were in that plane and was laughing. She was going, she wrote down the name, the title of it. She gave it back to me. So here was a woman who probably, you know, so if that's the foot you need to get in the door, I say fair play to Billy and anybody else who gets that foot in the door. Because there's a fair good chance that if that's their introduction to poetry, they might pick up your book or my book or some other book whose name, the name of the poet we can soon forget, but they will actually have taken poetry into their life. And I say that's all for the cause, you know. It'll be a better species if they speak in poems, you know.
I love that idea. Bet you can't read just one.
Yeah. Well, I was really, I mean, she just really went at it, you know. She really, and you can with that kind of work. And, which is not to subtract from more, what is it, complex, less hospitable work. But I've opened many books of poems that I thought, this person really doesn't want me to get this.
Right. But there is different kinds of complexity,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
And the complexity that he has is of relationship and mm-hmm. and emotion, and it's in many ways every bit as sophisticated as mm-hmm. other kinds of complexity.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
I've heard Billy read, and I've read with him in three countries, and he just, everybody who has the language gets it with Billy, you know. What's that poem of his, Sonnet? The idea, of course, is to write 14 lines. Well, 13 now. So he's constantly deconstructing the mystery while at the same time serving up another mystery. And I think this is the stuff of poetry, do you know?
Yeah, I think that notion of mystery, that in, you know, what makes a good poem? People ask all the time, particularly in interviews and things like that, what makes a good poem? And there are many different answers, but I think what you have to have in a poem that's really going to last, in a poem that's really powerful, is some element of mystery somewhere in there with the language or with the idea mm-hmm. or with the voice. Mm-hmm. But it's got to be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I like what you say about voice, Anita, because that is, and when you say, what do you want done with your poems besides read? I want to be heard. I want people to internalize them, because I do think poetry, unlike, you know, technical writing, unlike journalism, unlike even the very best of fiction, poetry sort of beckons through the ear. It wants to be a heard thing, even more than it wants to be understood. It wants to be apprehended out there, sort of, you know, in the air. And Billy's And, you know, that's a poetry that hangs together that way, too.
Before I ever heard him read, and I've never heard him read in person, I've only heard him read on the radio and TV and things like that, but I tried to imagine what his voice would sound like, because one of the things I love about poetry is after you've heard Maxim Cumann or Stanley Kunitz or somebody like that, and every time you pick up that poem, even if you've never heard them read that poem, you hear them read that poem in their voice.
Yeah.
And when you come across poets that you don't know, it's always fascinating to me to try to imagine what that literal voice sounds like. And sometimes I've had great surprises, great surprises.
It is strange because today was the first time I've listened to a few audio streams, but it's not the same. And I've been reading your stuff for the last couple of weeks, really. And
there are no quizzes.
Right, don't worry. But it is different. And it's funny because, I mean, you say that, you know, what does their voice sound like? But it is strange because it's almost like you don't own it anymore. Like that, like I've read it in a certain way, and hearing you read it, I mean, it's wonderful, but it adds another layer to it.
Uh-huh.
It sort of makes it more of a shared thing, maybe.
I think really, you know, the best of poetry, at least for me, makes me want to read it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Not my own, but other people's poems.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when after dinner somebody breaks out a book of poems and starts reading it, you can tell the really good ones because they can be in other voices. You can read them, and you've internalized them. So the poet has done the job when there's enough cues in the writing that you know how to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be an altogether different voice, a different experience that gives out with a poem, but it still reads, if it's well made, with a certain authority, authenticity. It rings true.